Have your Bibles, please. We'll just turn to Job chapter 1, that portion of the Word of God that we read together. Job chapter 1. And with our Bibles open, let's pray for God's blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God today. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege that is ours to sit around thy feet with the open book, the precious Word of God. We pray that thou would pour out thy Spirit now upon the printed page. Indeed, Lord, we would ask that for thy divine help in the preaching of thy Word. And thou would bless the Word that thou hast laid upon our heart. Come and speak to the hearts of your people. Come and encourage us to take our burden, to take our prayers, to bring all our requests and our petitions, even to the Lord in prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text today is found in Job chapter 1 and verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job praying for his children. Here in this Old Testament passage of God's Word, we are brought face to face with a mighty man of God. Indeed, I would say to all of us that this man, Job, is a wonderful example of godliness and of Christian living to us all. He had a wonderful testimony in the land. Because it says in the verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and endureth evil. And Job had a wonderful testimony in the land. And the people who lived around Job, they realized as they looked upon him, as they listened to his conversation, that Job was a man of God. He had a great testimony in the land. And I will say it just before we move on today, have you this testimony in this land? Have you a testimony for Christ in this town? Do the people that you work with, do the people that you live beside, do they know as they look upon you that you're a perfect man, that you're upright, that you fear God, that you endure the evil? Job was such a man. He had this testimony in the land. We should have this testimony, God's people, in the land. People should look upon us and see that we are indeed the light of the world, that we are indeed the salt of the earth. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." We are to walk in wisdom. We are to walk wisely. We are to walk uprightly. Job was such a man. He had this testimony in the land. Could I say he had a great testimony with the Lord? Because in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast I considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and endureth evil." Now he had this testimony in the land, but he had a great testimony with the Lord. And there's a big difference. Because, dear friends, you can live differently in the land than before God. Job, in the secret place, was the same man. When Job was away from his friends, and when Job was away from his family, dear friends, he still lived before God. He had this testimony. No hypocrisy in the heart or in the life of Job. In the house of God, the same man as outside the house of God. Are we the same? Are you the same, dear friends, in the house of God with your family around you when they're not with you? See, Job had this great testimony with the Lord. He's a great example, no doubt, to Christians of all age. Great example of patience. You know, James says in James 5 and verse 11, you've heard of the patience of Job. Which one here has not heard of the patience of Job? How he suffered all his trials with great dignity. How he suffered with patience. How he fell before the God and he said at the end that the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He suffered all his trials with great patience. We can learn about this man. He's a great example of patience. Great example of purity. Upright man and perfect, as we have been saying in our introduction. We find that no words of corruption fell from his lips. If wife says to him in Job 2 and verse 9, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest of one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Friends, what an example of purity. Job did not curse God. Job did not blame God. Job did not forsake God. Job did not sin against God. He was a great example as purity. But he was a great example as a parent. He was a great example as a parent. Because, dear friends, at the very commencement of this book, here we find Job, the man of God, praying. And Job's dying before God. And Job is lifting up his heart. And Job is praying for his family. Because it says in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continue. Here is Job, dear friends, and he's praying for his children. Yes, I would say today to all of us, Job is a wonderful example of patience. Job is a wonderful example of purity in the Christian life. But I want us today to consider this man of God, because he's a great example as a parent, as a father who prayed for his children. Job praying for his children. And I want you to notice, first of all, that it's a concerned prayer. Here's a man, at the very beginning of this book, just telling us a little bit about his life. At the very commencement, we find here is a man with this personal concern in his heart, this burden in his heart. And friend, what is it for? It's for his children. It's for his children. And I find Job here going to the throne of grace. And I find Job here, friends, in the place of prayer. And what is his subject in his heart? And why is he going to meet with God? It's because of his children. It's because of his children. This personal concern. Job made it his business to pray for his children. This, of course, was proper and right. They were his children. 7 sons, the Bible tells us in verse 2, and 3 daughters. They were his flesh and blood, and there was nobody better equipped to pray for them than Job, because Job knew his children like nobody else knew them. Knew all about their personalities. All the difference there were in his children, they were not all the same like our own children. Some, dear friends, were shy, some were bold, some were wise, some were foolish. Some were weak, some were strong. Job knew every one of them. Therefore, Job made it his business to pray for his children. He would have known what to pray for them. He knew all about their problems, their sickness, their sin, their sorrows. He knew all about their possibilities that they could curse God. So Job, he took it upon himself to pray for his children. This was a concern prayer, a personal concern. He did not depend on anybody else to pray for his children. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting someone else. Job with 3 friends, you can read about those on over in the book, chapter 2, verse 11. There's nothing wrong with saying to his friends, would you pray for my children? Would you pray for my family? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with getting his wife to pray for his children.
But Job took the burden himself. This was Job's concern himself.
Job rises to pray for his children. You think of Matthew 17, verse 15, that father coming to the Lord with his son, and he says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. And sore facts, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water." And here's another man with this concern, with this burden in his heart, and it's for his children. And I want you to notice, he comes himself, and he comes to the feet of Christ, and he says, "Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on my son."
I want to say to all of us today, I see parents,
we need to pray for our own children.
It's good to get others, the minister of the church, myself, Sunday school teachers, Christian friends, to pray for our children.
But you need to pray for them yourself. Nobody knows your children like you. You know them. You know their need, dear friends.
You know their different personalities. You know their problems. Their possibilities, where they place themselves in temptation.
You see, this personal concern, this prayer. Oh, parent, pray for your children. Here's Job.
This is the first thing it tells us about this man. He's on his knees. He's on his face before God. He's in the place of prayer,
and he's praying for his children. Do you pray for your children?
Do I pray for my children? Do we follow the example of this man?
This man who's a parent, praying for his children. It was a painful concern, could I say? Well, look at what it says. It may be at the end of verse 5 that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.
You know, Job had a fear. Job had a fear that his children would curse God. Now, the text is not suggesting that Job's children were wicked. Yes, they feasted together, but there is no indication at all that they were wicked, because Job does not mention this. The fear that was in his heart was that they would curse God in their heart. That was a secret sin. One you would not see. One, dear friends, you would not hear. But Job realized if all this family would come together, he had this fear that his children would curse God. And it filled his heart with fear. The very thought that one of his children would do such a thing, it gripped his heart. And it was a heavy burden in his heart
that they would turn away from God.
That was it, friends. He didn't want these children, these sons of his, these daughters of his, he didn't want them, dear friends, to turn away from God.
And what a heavy burden that was to his heart. What a heavy burden.
Remember John said in John, 3 John 1 verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's a great text, isn't it? No greater joy to see that my children walk in truth, that they love the truth, that they follow the truth. If there's no greater joy than to see our children walk in truth, then the complete opposite of that text.
I have no greater pain than to see my children disobey the truth. Many parents know what I'm speaking about.
No greater burden in my heart. No greater pain do I feel within my soul to see my children, my flesh and blood, brought up in the house of God, taught the gospel of Christ, taught the way of salvation, taught that they must be saved. I have no greater burden
to see my children walk away from the truth. And parents know the pain of that. I have met many parents, not just Kikil, but over the years of my ministry. I have sat with mothers with tears, fathers with tears going down their cheeks as they've been burdened about their children, to see their children walking away from God,
to see them going away from the Lord, to see them tramping that broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, dear friends, that was a painful concern that Job had.
And I've no doubt there's many parents in the meeting this morning. You're just like Job. You know what I'm speaking about? No doubt there are young people here today in this meeting. Maybe last night you were out feasting. Maybe last night you were out in the world. Maybe last night you were far away on that broad road that leads to destruction. And your mother sitting at home crying. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever think that your mother or your father last night were crying? That they were praying to God that He would have mercy on your soul? Do you realize the burden that they feel for your soul? As they see you walking on in sin down towards hell? It's not easy. It's not easy for any parent. Oh, young person, if there's any today walking away from God, disobeying the instruction from your parents, I trust God to speak to your heart. That's a heavy burden. And Job had it. He had this in his heart. He fell down before God with this burden for his sons and for his daughters, and he feared. He didn't want to lose them. He didn't want them friends to be damned. He didn't want them to go to a lost eternity. And that's a heavy burden. That's a heavy burden for any parent, dear friends, to carry. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said, "To bury a child is a great grief." So it is. "But to have that child live and sin against you is 10 times worse." That's a mighty statement. To bury a child, that's a heavy burden. Maybe some has done it here, I do not know. But to watch your child go on and sin, turn their back against God, is 10 times worse. Oh, dear parents, I'm sure it hurts you to see your children walk away from God. It should drive us to prayer. That God would save them. That God would lay hold upon them. And Job was such a man. He had this burden in his heart. Dear parent, are you here this morning with this burden? Praying for your children. Maybe the children, the young people. You're the cause of the pain in your mother and father's heart. You'll regret it someday. Let me say that. You're breaking your mother and father's heart by your life, by your actions. You will regret it someday. I hope it'll not be too late. It was a prominent concern. You see, Job made this his main business. After we were introduced to this man of God, given a description of his character, immediately we find him praying. This was the main thing here in the life of Job, in his Christian life. The first thing it tells us about this man of God, yes, he was perfect and upright and so on, but the first thing we find in his Christian behavior was this: he was praying for his children. That's the first thing it said. That's the first thing we find. We're only down to verse 4, and we find we're introduced to his children, and in verse 5 we find here, dear friends, him on his face before God, and he's praying for his children, you see. It was a prominent concern. This was his main business. As his parent, he had many things to do for them. Many other things to do for his children. He was to provide for them, and that is the Christian father's duty, to provide for his household. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, in spite of those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." We are to provide, and he had to provide for his children. He had to love them. And no doubt he did love them. Going to the place of prayer proved that. He had to teach them. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "I shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Teach them the law of God. He had to teach them the things of God. He had to guide them. He had to discipline them. But at the very top of Job's list was prayer.
That was the very first thing in the list of this man of God. He prayed. That's the first thing we find him doing. He's concerned about his children. He goes to the place of prayer. The first thing in his life was he's praying for his children.
Where does that come in your life?
Dear parents in the meeting, is this first in your life? We are to provide for our children. We are to love them. We are to guide them. We are to discipline them.
But first, pray for them.
Pray for the young people. And pray for our church. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, it tells about prayer. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice the words, first of all. First of all, we're to pray for others. First thing in my life should be prayer, especially in relation to our children. One commentator said, prayer is not the least we can do. It is the most. It is the most.
And Job believed this with all of his heart. And Job was a man who had this concern for his children, and it was a prominent concern first in his life.
First thing, dear friends, was this. He was going to pray for his children. And that's what we've got to do, all parents in this meeting. We are to pray for our children. C.H. Spurgeon tells about being brought up in a Christian home, and his mother was a godly woman. He used to open the Bible on Sunday evenings, read the Word of God, and explain the Word of God to him. But he said, then came mother's prayer. And he said some of the words of mother's prayer we should never forget, even when our hair is grey. And that's what struck him. Mama, you opened up the Bible. She pointed him to Christ. She told him the gospel. But then he said it was mother's prayer. Mommy prayed. He could remember the words that came from the lips, dear friends, of his mum. Job was concerned. And I can say to young people, that's why we pray. That's why mother and father go to prayer meeting. That's why we pray. We're concerned. We don't want to see you lost. We don't want to see you go on in sin. We don't want to see you go down into hell. We don't want to see you been held by the devil and by the world. That's why we pray.
That God would save you. That God would save you.
It was a concerned prayer. Now I say it was a committed prayer. You cannot fail to see Job's commitment in this matter. He was totally devoted and committed to praying for his children. You can see this in sanctifying. It says there, he wrote in verse 5, and Job sent and sanctified them, ordered them to set themselves apart, ordered them to prepare themselves, ordered them to examine themselves, that he was going to pray for them. But his commitment is seen in his rising. Can you notice what it says in verse 5? And Job sat and sanctified them, listen, and rose up early in the morning. He rose up early, dear friends, in the morning. Now, you can see his dedication here. He rises early in the morning. He is dedicated to this matter. He wants to pray for his children. He wants God to answer prayers for his children.
So Job gets up early in the morning to do it. His dedication and his denial is seen in his rising.
Rest and leisure had to be put to the one side. He could say very simply, I will lie in today. I will not bother rising to do this matter. But dear friends, early in the morning, he arose to pray. He arose to pray. This, of course, is the best time to pray, is morning. After the night of feasting, to pray for your children. New day lay before his children. Good to commit this whole day to God in prayer. And Job was committed in his rising. He rose up early in the morning to pray for his children. He got up, friends. Not to make money. Not to get the world's goods. But Job, when he got out of bed, dear friends, in the morning, it was with this purpose. To pray for his children. What a man he is. David said in Psalm 57, verse 8, awake up my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. He says in Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice shalt I hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Listen, in the morning, he says, thou will hear my voice.
Does God hear your voice in the morning? Does God hear your voice in the morning?
Do you rise to pray in the morning? Do we rise to pray for our children in the morning? We have to be committed to this. We have to show our dedication. We are to show our denial of rest. We are to rise early in the morning. I hear people saying sometimes, I've no time to pray. And your whole life is wrong if that's what you're saying.
If you get up earlier, you'll have plenty of time. Get up earlier.
Best time to pray is the morning. Sometimes we get up, and dear friends, we lie later. We're rushing about all day to catch up with ourselves. Rise up early in the morning. The Muslims pray five times a day, and we have nothing to do with their false religion. But their prayer time will begin about 4:30. They get up at 4:30. John Bunyan says, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. We are to pray early. Show our commitment to this. Seek God's face for our children. Job was such a man. There were his offerings as well and his commitment. Blood sacrifice, it seems, and he brought one for each of his children here. Each one of his children was represented by the sacrifices. He offered them. He pleaded through the blood that God would have mercy, that the Lord would forgive their sin. Sacrifice after sacrifice was laid upon the altar, you see. Job was showing his commitment to pray for his children. And dear friends, we are to do the same. Are we committed? What about our offerings? Thank God we can plead the blood of Christ. There's power in the blood of Christ. And there's mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we show this commitment? Rising, praying, crying unto God. Crying unto God that He would have mercy on our children. Do you pray from your heart for your children? Are you committed? Job was such a man. It is wonderful when we're introduced to Job. I said, did a wee study with the boys and girls in the school on the first recorded spoken words of men of God and others in the Bible. And the first recorded words of Job is in relation to prayer. That's in verse 5. That's the first recorded spoken words of Job. Isn't that amazing? Praying. Praying for his children. There he is, this man of God. Man of great possessions. Man of great power, but a man of great prayer, praying for his children. That's Job. Dear friends, are we such people? We need to show commitment, dedication in the place of prayer. We need to seek the face of God and pray for our children. Can I say lastly that it was a continual prayer? Because look at what it said. Thus did Job continually. Continually. All the days of their feasting, Job prayed for them. I would say all the days of their lives, Job prayed for them. And as long as he had his children around his feet, you know, friends, Job prayed for them. He did this continually. He never forgot his children at the throne of grace. The main theme of his petition was his children. his daughters, his sons that he loved. And friends, he did this continually.
He did it continually. Don't be thinking that Job lost all his children to sin in the world. We read in the passage about the great wind coming upon the house and the house falling down and killed all of his children. Don't be thinking that God judged all his children and God damned all his children. Don't be thinking that. Why did the house fall? It wasn't because of his children. It was because of Job. It was to test the faith of Job. That's why the trial came. God wasn't dealing with his children in judgment at all. The cattle and everything, you can find on later on, the health, things was taken away from him. But I want to say this, dear friends, Job prayed continually. It was his daily habit to seek the face of God for his children. Continually. And I want to say to parents today, let us be like Job. Let us pray continually. And we should pray continually. It says in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We are to continue in prayer. Not enough just to pray on a Monday morning or a Sunday morning. Lord, save my children. And go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you never have prayed for your children again. It's not showing commitment. We are to pray, dear friends, continually. Every day we are to bring our children and lay them before the Lord and ask the Lord to lay his hand upon them. Continual prayer should come from our lips for the children. I know in continual prayer we renew fellowship with God. We meet with God every time we pray continually. But our children need God's pardon every day and mercy. Because in a moment for those of our children is not saved, God could cut them off. Every day they need that mercy. Do we not need, dear friends, God's provision? Our children need His provision every day. Give us this day our daily bread. They need provision. Do our children not need protection every day in this old wicked and sin-cursed world? The devil's out to lead them astray and into sin. Do we not need to pray that God will protect them and lead them not into temptation every day? Our children are in great danger. Therefore, friends, we are to pray continually. And continual prayer brings answers. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the tense of the Greek verb there is continue asking. Continual knocking. Continual, dear friends, seeking. Seeking and asking God continually. That's how we get answers. We are to keep on praying. That's what Job did. Don't be given up at the throne of grace. Maybe say, no, if I'm praying for years for my children, pray on. Pray on. That's what Job did. Job wasn't going to be given up. Job wasn't going to leave the throne of grace. Job wasn't going to forget his children in the place of prayer. Thus did Job continually. Keep on believing. And keep on praying. Let your children know that you're praying for them. I heard a man give him his testimony. I'm sure he's known to you. Willie Hugh Baxter. I'm sure you know him. He's well known. Does a bit of preaching. But in his testimony, he tells about how he used to drink. He used to go to the pub. He had no money. He's a bit of a singer. He used to start to sing. When Willie sang, the men filled the glass up for him. He said one night he wanted to go to the pub. He had no money to get himself started to get into the pub. He thought he'd go and ask his mum for some money. He went up to his mum's bedroom door. He was about to knock the bedroom door. And he heard a voice. It was Mummy's voice. She was praying. And he listened to that door, to the mother at the throne of grace. And he heard her Mummy said, save Willie. Save Willie. And his hand couldn't knock the door. And friends, he said he went to the pub. And he got a drink.
And he looked into that glass. All he heard was this voice. It was the voice of his mother. And the voice says, "Save Willie.
Save Willie." That's all he heard. And God saved them. God saved them. Keep on praying. Parents, can I say, be like Job. If our children want to go to hell, let them walk over our prayers. That's hard to do. Oh, young people, can I just say to you, don't break the hearts of your parents. One day you'll be parents yourself and you'll understand why. That the day you would turn from your sin and be saved. The world has nothing to offer you. Nothing but sin. Nothing but trouble. But Christ can set you free. And He can give you everlasting life. He can save your soul. I pray today, even in this house, that God will hear the prayers of some parents. Even before we go home this morning, that the young people will come to Christ. They will repent of their sin and be saved by the grace of God. Job prayed for his children. Keep on believing, dear parents. Keep on praying. God will answer. And we'll all rejoice together. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we pray You write Thy word upon our hearts. Indeed, our hearts have been touched. There are heavy hearts in this meeting. Parents have been praying for years for their children. Sadness, Lord, to see them turn away from Thee. We want to see them saved. We want to see them loving Christ. We pray You'll hear prayers today. And young people in this church will be saved by Thy grace. Those who's backslidden will be restored to their first love. Lord, help us to be like Job. Help us to spend time at the throne of grace and to pray for our children. Be with us now. Take us safely home. In Jesus' name. Amen.